What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Carlene, with Strong with Carlene, helping you guys become strong every day. Guys, I have a special guest here today. She's one of my dearest friends. Let me tell you about her. I freaking love everything about her. She's super sweet, and she's honestly been one of the best friends that I've ever had because she's always been there for me in, like, a lot of situations and in so many ways, I think, like, from a long time ago. Anyways, guys, I'm going to introduce you guys to my amazing friend who is an amazing broker, by the way, my friend Jasmine.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and thank you for having me. This is truly an honor for me.
Girl, it's an honor for me to have you here right now and just sharing with the world who you are and stuff. But anyways, guys, before we get started, I want to let you guys know that she's the owner and founder of
J&D Realtors.
And what do you guys do there?
We sell real estate, we do leasing, we also do property management, and we assist in all real estate needs, truly.
So if you guys are looking for a house, that's my girl. Like, you need to call her. Like, I'm going to leave her info right, like, around this area so you guys can call her, okay? So, Jasmine, were you nervous when I told you I wanted you on my podcast?
I was extremely nervous, but I have to say I was waiting.
You were waiting?
I wanted to be in your podcast. I hear you, and I just get excited. And I think when I'm next to you, although I thought I was going to be nervous, I feel like it just goes away.
I think I'm more nervous than you.
You are?
I am nervous. I'm nervous to be here with Jasmine.
I can't tell.
No, but I'm glad because I've been wanting to do a podcast. I even told Mondo, I was like, babe, if I'm going to have a podcast, I want my girl Jasmine. Like, that's why you were the second person. I was like, I need to have Jasmine.
Really?
Yes. That's why I was like, okay, my brother, because I'm going to have my brothers coming up soon. But I was like, I want Jasmine to be on here. So that's why I was like, dude, I need to have her. Don't get the name of my amiga aquí. So before you got here, what happened to you, girlfriend?
Oh, my God.
What's your little story? This is, I'm telling you, this is how I know Jesus works in mysterious ways. But I know also that the enemy tries to fight even harder, Jasmine. Just let them know what happened before you got here.
Well, today was a photo shoot day for us, for JLE Realtors, the ladies. And I came to do makeup actually to Colton. Mm-hmm. I have a really dear friend that did my makeup. On my way back, my tire popped on the freeway, and a brand new tire. So I really, you know, when you talk about the enemy, I think it happened. It popped. I moved to the side of the freeway, and you know what's crazy is that before, I feel like I used to get really nervous, like, oh my God, I'm going to be late to the photo shoot. My girls, the photographer, everything goes through your mind.
Yes.
But in that moment when that happened, just a peace came over me. And it said, you know what, things are going to be fine. You know, I'll get there at the time I get there. And when you have that peace, I think it comes often.
Things just work. Yeah, they just flow even better.
Yeah, so I said, no, not today. I'm going to get there when I get there, and we'll continue doing what we're supposed to do. And we did.
That's
and
awesome.
What was even crazier is my friend hadn't left her house yet. She was going to take the same freeway south.
Uh-huh.
I called her and she said, you know what, I'll swing by and pick you up. 5 minutes, she was there.
Isn't that crazy how things work out, though?
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how God always has your back? Because we talk about how the enemy works, right? We talk about how sometimes when you know, like, for today's a very special day because today you're supposed to do your photo shoot. You're supposed to have this amazing podcast, you know, with me. And sometimes when you're about to talk about God or God needs to put you somewhere, the enemy's like gets mad and tries to destroy you, tries to bring your energy down. Mm-hmm. And you were like, no, man, like, God, I know you got it. I'm good.
He's got a backup all the time. So why am I worried? So yeah, it was pretty crazy.
So yeah, I'm so glad that you're here and you're safe. Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm going to show you guys the picture of the tire on here so you guys know exactly what the tire looked like. When she said to me, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm glad you're okay because that was crazy. And I'm like, at first when she told me, mejor tenía las llantas peladas, right? And I checked, no, girlfriend, they were brand new tires. I was like,
brand new tires.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that you're here, Jasmine.
Thank you.
I'm so glad.
I'm here safe. So yeah.
Okay, I'm glad. Porque si no, I would have cried.
You would have.
I would have, but like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, you know.
You know, when things happen at times, and, you know, but that's why we have to really, like, not panic, not feel the fear or the scare or the nothing, and just understand it's going to be okay. You know,
yes.
The plans are going to keep going, and if you have to make adjustments, it'll happen. But I think when God truly knows your heart or where you want to be, he's going to send you the backup plans.
And he does. You know, back in the days, same thing. I used to get anxiety. I used to worry. I think because I think ever since my brother Gary passed away, I've always had anxiety when I drive. Well, every time I'm driving in the rain or it's cold, because that's how he passed away. For me, it's like a little bit of anxiety, so I'm very nervous. And when I was dealing with the breast implants and like the brain tumor, I had so much anxiety on a daily basis. So recently I was like, God, I know you've handled everything. There's nothing for me to worry about. I know you got it. I know you got it. I'm good and I'm going to be okay. And whatever happens, God, and then you take me, I'm supposed to go with you. So there's another sense of peace, you know? Right. So now I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. I'm here. I'm good. Like God take over the wheel. And he does. He does it all the time. And I think that's the best part, where we can just calm ourselves down, just knowing, because remember, anxiety, fear does not come from God. Mm-mm. It does not come from him. So when you challenge that, you're like, you know what? You're right, Jesus. Like, that's not from you. So I don't need it. And you know what I do? I always rebuke in the name of Jesus. I rebuke in the name of Jesus is fear, this anxiety. Get out. You don't belong here. Get out. Yeah, and we got to do it. And it does. And I'm like, all right, let me put my church music back on. Let me put on my Christian R&B. And I'm like bumping it and stuff. But it's crazy. But I honestly agree with you.
For sure.
So, Jasmine, I wanted to ask a couple questions. And, you know, we all have goals in life. We all have beautiful stories. We all have beautiful journeys. I want to know, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't know this about you, because, you know, a lot of people think that when you have a goal, you have a dream, that it's not possible because of the situation in life, right? And for me, your story is very inspiring because you weren't born here.
I was not.
And you are a broker. You have your own business, you know. I think for me, when I heard your story, I was like, dude, that's pretty badass. Esta mujer sí es una mujer emprendedora. Like, she's an amazing woman. Like, you didn't let anything hold you back. You didn't let any obstacle. You didn't let where you came from hold you back. You didn't let anything, nothing block you from what you wanted to do in life. And so, tell me a little bit more about your story and how old were you when you got here?
No tenía papeles, gracias. No tenía papeles, me vine de paisa. And surprisingly, some of my friends today, I speak Spanish, and they're so surprised. Like, you speak Spanish? I'm like, yeah, I do.
You should have seen her when she was a güerita.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, girl, you white.
All right. Well, I did come here when I was only 8 years old. I didn't speak any English. And it was the most terrifying experience for me, my first day of school. I mean, I would hear the language, and it was scary. Like, I didn't understand anything.
¿Qué te vino a la mente? Like, what did you think? Like,
I vividly remember my mother feeling so anxious and sad for me because my stomach was hurting every day. Every morning, she already knew. You know, she was preparing me to take me to school and to go through that whole morning of my mom, my stomach hurts. I don't want to go to school. But it was the nervousness of a whole new world for me.
Yes.
You know, I went to school in Mexico, which was kinder, first, and second grade. So I already had my mind established of what school was and my friends, my teacher, and all of that.
But everything was familiar to you compared to now. You're in a different, like you said, different world.
Yeah, that's how it felt. And I want to say third grade, they did give me like an ESL teacher. And
okay.
So she was teaching me English with little cards of like car. And I was so shy. I didn't want to speak. Aww. Because I didn't want to sound funny.
Yeah.
You don't want people to make fun of you.
Yeah. Especially with kids. Mm-hmm. Kids always making fun of you and everything. So I can imagine.
Yeah. So that time was extremely scary. Third grade was that for me. I didn't speak to anyone. I was shy. They would try to make friends with me, and I just didn't want to be even looked at because, it's different. It's a different space that you come into. But fourth grade, I think it's when my that fear started going away, when my fourth grade teacher told my friends in class, if I didn't read a paragraph, we couldn't go to lunch.
Oh, so she put it on you.
So she put it on me. Yeah.
Girl, you had to step it up.
So I said, okay, well, I mean, I started crying, you know, because I'm chillona. I was such a chillona.
Well, you were something different. They put you on the spot. I would have cried too.
And he did. And I think what made it better is that everybody was cheering. They were like, come on, Jasmine, you can do it. You can do it. Nobody was like upset that we weren't going to lunch. It was a moment of like encouraging, and everybody was like telling me, finally, I read the sentence. I didn't do the whole paragraph. I read a sentence and they were clapping and everybody was so happy that I was reading in English.
That's the best.
And that was like a beginning to like the rest of the years in elementary, because the fear started going away.
Okay.
Those kind of friends. Now, if it would have been the other way, who knows? You know, wow. I thankfully I had a good teacher.
That's good. Yeah. That's really good. And then high school, how was high school for you?
Well, I went to middle school. Middle school.
I'm all skippy. So what happened after high school?
In middle school, I started, actually in sixth grade, I started playing softball.
And really?
I grew love okay. for softball in sixth grade. And then seventh, eighth, I didn't really do sports. I was more into art and drawing and painting. But the English got better.
Okay.
I was speaking more. I was allowing myself to have friends at that point. And, you know, to this day, some of those friends still are in my life, which is amazing.
That's the best.
Yeah. Dude. And then high school got a little harder, I think, towards my senior year, because remember, I wasn't born here.
Mm-hmm.
So all my friends would speak. They didn't know I wasn't born here. Everybody thought I was
born here. Yeah, because honestly, when I told me, like, well, also too, your English, like, it's like super perfect.
Okay.
So when, no, I'm sorry, but I've seen other people, and no judgment, or you can tell there's a heavy accent, you know, with you, there was, I'm like, what, you were born here?
Yeah.
What? You came here from Mexico when you were little?
Yeah.
So I was like tripped out.
Funny, huh?
Yes.
And so my senior year, I started actually feeling that anxiety I felt third grade, because now I'm speaking and talking about college and applying for colleges. And guess what? I had no papers. I couldn't apply
for
colleges. So that was hard. I remember the subject would come up and right away I felt
your stomach.
Yeah. And I said, oh man, they're going to ask me what college I'm going to. And what am I going to say? I don't want to lie. I can't go to college. I don't have a social security number. So my senior year became that. And I was just thankful when it was over, because everybody went their way and we stopped talking about college, you know? So yeah, that's what happened throughout my years of school.
But in high school, did you have a vision? Like, your plans? What were your plans? What did you want to do? Like, did you ever say, like, you know what? Like, I don't have paper, so I can't do this. Or did you think, you know, one day I'm going to become something?
You know what? I did start working when I was 16.
Okay.
Even though I didn't have papers, but
it was under the table, guys.
Yeah.
She can't get in trouble now.
Right? And I fell in love with, it was actually selling CDs at a supermarket in Pasadena.
Really? What was the supermarket called?
It was, oh my God, hold on, let me see if I remember. It was called Digital Paging.
Really?
Yeah. Digital, something like that. But I started selling CDs. That's when CDs were still around. For anybody that doesn't know, CDs is a little square thing. But I developed a love for sales in that job. And honestly, I don't really, aside from the senior year thinking about the colleges, I wanted to do something with homes. I know in my mind I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to draw because I loved art.
Mm-hmm.
And I said art and homes, you know,
yeah.
An architect. And
I can picture you being an architect.
Yeah.
Your little helmet.
Right.
And everything.
With the plants,
with your suit. Yeah, I could definitely picture you.
Yeah. And well, because I couldn't go to college. I could go to college at that time, but the unit price was like ridiculous, insane, where I didn't have the money to even this job.
And back then it was expensive, though. Yeah. College was like really, really, unless you got like what?
Unless you got
like a scholarship or something like that.
Yeah. For me, for someone that didn't have papers, I remember seeing the fee was $365 per unit. So it was money that we really didn't have. But I still didn't think of like, oh man, I don't have papers, I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. I think I was so in love with my job and in sales that I said, you know, things are going to come around one day. My dad will be able to fix my papers one day. So I didn't really struggle with like, I won't be able to do something. There's always something in my mind.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you've always had that in you.
Yeah.
You've always had faith. You've always had like, no, something better is going to come out. Because there's people, and we know people that are like, no, I'm not going to be able to make it. But even though that's been proven, though, it can be done, you know. Right. But there's people that just give up because of their situation. But you didn't give up. You're like, no, something better is going to come out. Like, I'm going to figure it out.
Coming. Yeah.
So tell me, you're also a mom. How many babies do you have?
I have 4 children. My oldest is 25. He'll be 25 this March. My youngest will be 7. So there's 2 in between.
Wow.
3 and boys and 1 girl.
3 boys. And your oldest, he's in the
Air Force.
Air Force. He's an Air Force mom, guys.
Yeah, Air Force mom. That's and married crazy. To an amazing girl who I love.
I know. I've seen the pictures. She's really beautiful, by the way. And your son, I can't believe, like, ever since I met you and I known you, like, wow, he's grown so much. Now he's a man.
He's a man.
He's a man, girlfriend. And I see Jacob's pictures too. I'm like, dude, he's a man. Like, my son's becoming a little man, you know? Right. He's going to be 17 this year.
It's a different feeling. Definitely a proud one, though. Yeah. Because, you know, like, damn, that's part of me. That's
and your son looks like a really good kid, too. The mm-hmm. fact that he's in the Air Force and is he married now?
He's married now.
He's married too, right? Yeah. I forgot about that.
He's married.
And then
I want grandkids. And already? They're just not ready. They're not ready. I am.
They're like, no, not yet. They probably still want to travel and everything. Well, kids are expensive, girl.
That too.
We know about kids being expensive, right? Okay? Yeah. But yes, and then you have a little girl. She looks exactly like you.
She does.
She's your twin. It's una güerita. By the way, Jasmine, it's una güerita, okay?
Not the real Jasmine.
And then your 2 boys. I always confuse them because they look so much alike.
They think they're twins.
But yeah, but they're little. 3 years one apart. Yeah, mm-hmm. One of them's little, right?
Yeah.
¿Cómo se llama más chiquito?
Noah tiene 7. Donnie is actually Elijah. Mm-hmm. We call him Donnie for his middle name. He is 9. Layla is 12. And then my oldest.
She's already 12?
She's 12. She'll be a teenager soon. So, yeah.
We'll be praying for your kids, you know. And then they just one of them or both of them got baptized already.
All three of them got baptized. I mean, that was something that came from them. I mean, they see where we go and what they're around and understand, you know, that's just what I want to do.
That's so beautiful, girlfriend, because the fact that, like, the little kids, I'm like, the same thing with Leia. I didn't force her. She's like, Mom, I need to get baptized. I want to get baptized. So when I seen your babies getting baptized, I was like, wow, that's super cute, because they see it. They have a love for Jesus that they're like, dude, I just want more of him. I want to be part with Jesus, you know?
For sure.
So seeing that, that's you're doing a good job. You're leading by example, and you're giving them the love that not just by, like, showing them the love of a mother, but you're showing them the love of Jesus. That's more than a love of a mother, you know? Sure. Jesus loves us more than we love our kids.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I see it, and they even now, they teach me things of their love for learning about God, which is, you know, at times it can be hard.
Yeah.
They say stuff at school, and I'll share more on that later, but, you know, the school system is they don't really welcome that kind of talk in school grounds. But I just,
really? They've not at your guys' school?
No. The stuff that they said, they were just like, oh, well, you know, we understand. And just try not to have them say some of that stuff here because the kids don't know. So I did have that already.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Leia's school actually has an after-school program for kids to learn about. It's called, what is it called? The Good Kids Something Club. Really? I don't even know the name. But, yeah, they study the Bible.
Wow.
Yes, okay. Girl. Like, so Leia, she goes, Mom, I got to go. She loves school. She goes every Tuesday, and they teach them about the Bible. They read, like, little Bible verses, and they tell them about some stories about the Bible. Like, it's pretty cool.
Wow.
And so she goes every Tuesday, and they stay after school. So, yeah, they stay after school, and I pick them up later on. And surprising, when she first signed up for it, it's called the Good News Club. There you go. So they praise, and they do everything there. So it's pretty cool. That's why when I saw it, I was like, you want to go? She's like, yeah, Mom. So it's at their school.
At the regular school.
At a regular school. And so when I saw that, I was like, that is awesome. Mm. Like, the fact that they're not against it. Mm-hmm. But I can see some schools, maybe the different districts that they're, you know, that's sad. But
and, you know, I think these little ones become more bold.
Yes.
Not to be rude or not to be, but I see, like, Donnie, he reads the Bible.
Does he
pick it up and say, Mom, did you hear on Luke this? And I'm like, I don't even know.
You're like, not even read that part.
But tell me. And you know, I'll ask him and he shares, but they have their own even family at church, which is, to me, beautiful, because they all grow up with kids that maybe sharing the same, you know, the same mind, the same heart, and be there for each other.
That's the best.
In both places.
That's the best, I think, because, you know, we do have our family, but we also, God sends us more family, right? And it doesn't have to be blood all the time. It can be a friend, it can be a stranger, you know, that becomes family too. And sometimes, you know, even though, like, God gives us our family and it's blood, but sometimes your own friends can become your own, like, closer family because they understand, you know? And for me, when I realized that, I was like, you know what, that's crazy. But I'm like, God, but I still pray that I'm get closer to my family because they're my family. And maybe I'm not where I want to be with them. But now, girl, like now with my family, we're really, really close. Like I prayed for that and I hope it stays like that because it's something I pray for. So
love that.
It's like just having friends, but having friends and made me realize, man, I kind of want to have that connection with my family too. Good. So yeah. To me, it was one of those things was like, man, like I have it now. So I'm complete.
Oh, love that.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
And it takes work from everybody.
It does. And I think there needed to be a shift because I needed to grow what I needed to grow. And I needed to have a relationship with Jesus. And sometimes you have to remove yourself though. Sometimes you have to remove yourself. I'm sorry to say this, and some people might get offended by it. Like, why? They're your family. No. Sometimes you have to remove yourself because there's things that people will do to attack you, and it's your own family, and they might hurt you for a while. This is for another subject, but I had to remove myself from even for my mom for a little bit. But now I'm like, I call her 20 times a day because I think we both had to grow through something, and we both had to like really be like, you know what, like I really love my daughter. I'm sorry I did this to you. And the same thing with me, you know?
Yeah. But I was just going to tell you that. And I feel like that separation sometimes happen, and the wiser one kind of initiates it. Mm-hmm. I feel in a way for both of you to go, you know, your separate ways for that little time to grow and understand and reflect.
Yes. Cause we did a lot of reflecting, girl. Right? Like a lot of reflecting.
And then you come back together and you're a different, wiser person. Yes. So your relationship is stronger for sure.
Yes, I know that. I'm huge on that. I love family. I love friendships. I honestly, like now, like my circle is so small because I've realized like who's really there for you and who's really not, who doesn't check up on you. Mm-hmm. You know, you were the first one that was like, hey, I'm going to be at the hospital. Oh. You know, like you were there. Mm-hmm. You were there for me. And I'm like, man, like it meant so much to me. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't consider you just my friend. You're like a family member. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, how long have we known each other for?
I want to say 5 years now.
It's been a long time.
5 years.
Yeah. You were blonde. I was blonde.
Yeah. I want to go pink, though.
Like a light pink?
Mm-hmm.
You should. Like a pastel pink?
Yeah.
And I kind of want to change my... I want it to go lighter, but then I want to go darker.
I love the way it is right now.
I want to go darker.
Mm. No, because then you can't see the bright pink.
But I want to go black. Mom's like, why? No. Anyways, Jasmine. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. This is about success, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I need you to tell people. I need you to inspire them because, you know, as both entrepreneurs, there's a lot of people that give up on themselves because they feel they don't have the resources for it. They don't have the money. They don't have the connections. Mm-hmm. But what is something that you can give advice for somebody that just wants to get started on something simple, that if they have a vision, if they have a brand that they want to do, but they're just so afraid. Like you weren't afraid. Mm-hmm. You started your real estate business. How did you start it? When did you start it? And how did you do it?
Gosh, with real estate, I've been doing real estate honestly since I was 21. I got licensed because
she's 25, by the way, guys.
I'm 25. My dad started buying a home back when I was like in my 20s, and I had just had Alex actually when that happened. Wow. He's buying a home and says, oh, mija, the guy that's helping me buy the house needs an assistant. I'm like, I just gave birth, dad. Like, you know, I had just had Alex, but he thought like it would be good for me, like start your career in real estate. He saw what the guy was doing and he's like, you know, I think my kid can do this. He actually had me interview this man, this broker, over the phone. I never met him. So I think what helped is my sales in the city.
I can see that.
Yeah, I was a talker. And I started working. I started working for him as his assistant. I want to say within a year.
Oh, wow.
I already had my documents, by the way. And I applied to get my real estate license. So it was pretty fast. It moved pretty fast when I got in. And I was kind of on and off, I want to say. On and off. I wasn't doing real estate full time. I always had a job.
Okay.
And again, being a mom and having a little one, I couldn't go out there full time and do this because I'm learning. Yeah.
But, oh, you're joking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
But there is that fear that you're talking about that kicks in. Like, and again, it's the voices in your mind that say, you can't do it. Wait a second. You just had a kid. Why are you going to go into this new career that you don't even know about? But you know, you just listen to yourself more mm-hmm. than those other ugly thoughts, because when they're ugly and not positive, it's not you. It's not, you know, it's someone else talking to you. So through the years, I was, like I mentioned, on and off, and I ended up working for a company where it was very, I learned a lot there, except there was a lot going on. You know, working in a real estate office is not always like, oh my God, you're going to make millions when you start working there. Like, it's not always like that. You really have to put in the work within you, with yourself, and start by making the first step, like get your real estate license. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you need to sell a home? Getting your license. And I thought I was going to be a salesperson for a while working under a broker. I always thought, oh, I'm just going to, I like that environment, being around other people and working together. But the more I was in it, the more I realized I wanted to be on my own.
You're like, I want to do this. I got what it takes. If he can do that, I can do it better.
Yeah.
Or I can do it better than that. I always think that stuff like that, too. I'm like, if I see somebody and they're doing it, I'm like, why can't I do it?
Right, right.
And I just got to jump.
Yeah, so you jumped, you know, and I said, you know what, I'm going to apply for my brokers. And again, that voice kicked in and said, a broker? Really? Like, you came from Mexico. You came, like, you don't even speak English right. Like, all these negative thoughts were on my mind.
And you're like, but I got it.
And I said, no, let me point that thing down, you know, and I said, no, I'm gonna go for it. But what made me go for it, I want to say, was the last broker I had. I was having some experiences, and he actually gave me my license back.
Oh, wow.
You know, and when a broker gives you your license back, that pretty much means, like, you're not qualified. You're not doing a good job here. Like, here's your license. Go on your way. So that was really hard, because I've never been fired.
Why did he give it to you back?
So he was trying to make and it's okay. I think I took it to the heart. I let my ego get in the way, and I said, oh my God, really? He really did this? Like, wow. I had two escrows. I had two sales. So it wasn't my sales volume. It was that I wasn't going to the office as much as he wanted me to be there.
Mm.
Now, you don't have to be in an office to sell real estate, you know, and that was my mentality. I was already an entrepreneur, selling, doing things on my own. I even co-owned a bail bond company.
Oh, wow.
So I was doing so much stuff that it's like, I can't be behind a desk. I need to be out showing homes. I need to be out talking to people. That's how I make sales.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, he didn't like it. And, you know, the second he gave me my license back, that's when I got enrolled in my courses to the brokers.
Well, it was God's way saying, like, you're ready. It's time. You got to do it on your own.
Yeah.
So he did you a favor.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't fire you. He did you a favor. He elevated you. And he was like, all right. And sometimes God works that way. God is funny how he does things. Sometimes we're like, wait, I wasn't ready. God's like, no, but you are. That's why you got to do this on your own now.
For sure. I felt that. I'm not ready to be a broker. And you just have to, when you're put in that situation of you're ready, you have to step into it.
You just got to trust.
And do it. So that's what happened. Then I became a broker.
And here you are.
Took me 3 times. But hey, that was hard in itself. You know, it's not an easy test.
Well, it's not. I can imagine. But you studied it. You did it. You conquered it. And now you're here.
And I kept going.
It was hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard if we make it hard, right?
Right.
But if you think about it, think about it. Yeah, it's hard. It's going to take time. But everything that's really worth it at the end is going to be hard. And that's the point of it. Because if it was easy, then everybody would do it and nobody would appreciate it. Nobody would be able to conquer it, right?
Right.
But I always think about stuff like, if it's hard, then it's worth it.
Mm.
If it's hard to understand it, it's because it's worth it. It's going to take time. Because you don't want something easy. It's not a challenge. It's not a challenge. And we, as entrepreneurs, we like those challenges.
We do.
Nos gusta la mala vida.
Yeah.
No es la mala vida. It's because this is like, as entrepreneurs, we take those risks. Because a lot of people are not willing to take those risks.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing to take those risks. And then when we conquer them, we're like, damn. And then people wonder, like, how do they do it? Well, we took that risk. You were afraid. You didn't take the risk. And you see, like, you weren't afraid to do it. You said, I'm going to do it. And even though it was hard, and you got it done.
And within that time, that's when I had Noah. So I was, when I was studying, I literally had my son, you know, my newborn baby with my book here. And it's like, if I can say this.
Breastfeeding,
yeah. I was breastfeeding Noah, and I have my book, and I'm like trying to highlight, And I'm like, no, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to study and it's going to happen.
And you did.
And that's when you just can't let things like back you up. Because when you let that happen, it's like, okay, you're going to stay stagnant and stay still.
So, and that's the thing. Like, we can't be afraid. That's what I've learned. I'm like, I'm the type, you know me, I just jump. If I feel something in my heart, yo si brinco. I don't care.
Si brincas, brinco contigo.
Yes. And we always bounce off of each other. Yeah. And so many things we always bounce off. Like, Jasmine, what do you think about this? Or you'll be like, hey, Carlene, like this and that. And we always bounce off of each other, which is, I think it's good because, you know me, I'm not selfish with anything. If I have something to learn, I love to share it with you. And the same thing with you, vice versa. You've done that for me too. And I think that's what makes our relationship strong because no somos... We're not jealous of each other. Mm-mm. Nothing. Like, it's more like, hey, girl, like, because I want to see you win. And it's the same thing with you. Like, you want to see me win.
Right.
And I think that's what has made our relationship really beautiful because it's like, we're like pushing each other. Even though we don't talk every day, right, we don't. Right. We're not texting every single day, but we don't take it personal. Mm-mm. It's like, hey, I know I haven't checked up on you, but are you okay?
And I see your stories. I'm like, she's cool. She's doing okay.
The same thing. They're like, oh, she's at church. And in my head, I feel like I messaged you, but I'm like, I haven't messaged her.
Yeah.
But in my head, I messaged you.
And I receive it. And then I message you back.
So I'm going to ask you a question about success, Jasmine. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you share a moment in your life or career that you consider significant success? And what factors do you attribute to achieving that success?
Passing my broker's exam. That was a goal that I didn't think I can do, honestly. I passed those sales, but when they express how hard the broker's exam is, you literally just say, oh, like,
¿cómo lo voy a pasar?
It's going to be hard. And that to me was like huge. I remember the feeling of opening that little paper, you know, for the third time, because it was my third time. And I said, you know, I felt it. I felt I passed. It was so weird. Like, there was a
confirmation.
There was peace. There was... going into the exam room, I was not nervous. I was not scared. I said, you know, si esto va a ser hoy, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I walked out and I saw, and I swear, I saw so many things in my mind, visions, like an office and, you know, a all-girl real estate team. And it's like, aww, everything just started.
Why am I
happening,
like getting all teared up?
But I did. Like, it was visions that started coming in. And it's like my heart was there the whole time, but now it was pouring out.
Oh, that's the best,
you know, and I saw it when that happened. So that to me was like a huge success moment.
I can see that. How do you define success personally, and has that definition evolved over time?
It changes over time. I think success, because I was in an environment of other brokers.
Mm-hmm.
Success, it means a lot of money, nice cars, beautiful homes, and I think that just comes with time. You don't need to define that as success. Success truly for me now is how many people's lives you touch, how many hearts you help, how many little sparks of fire you ignite in what you're saying to them. That's success. How many people you help, not what you have,
what you
acquire.
I think you know what, and I agree with you on that one, because me and Mondo were actually talking about that, because I'm like, man, it's so crazy. You see a lot of people that have the money, they flaunt it, but at the end of the day, like, okay, that's awesome. There's nothing wrong with living a luxurious lifestyle, because I like nice things. You like nice things,
sure,
you know, but at the same time, it's like, what do you do to help people? Like, it's cool to have those things, but that honestly, that doesn't even belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you make, it doesn't, everything belongs to God.
Right.
So it doesn't matter, but it's what you do with the money. For example, like for us, we love to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's when you get, that's to me a huge success. Why? Because there's something in you that it's fulfilling, you know, and when you buy something, yeah, it's fulfilling for a second, right? It's like, all right, yo la compré, I have this, I'm showing it off. But what about when you do that for somebody else?
Mm, for sure.
How does that person feel? You know, like, for me, I don't know, for me, it's huge. Like, a mí me gusta ayudar a la gente. And that's one thing that I made a promise to God, actually, a long time ago. And when I did a Stronger Every Day drive, it was at Skid Row. I didn't have no money or nothing.
Yeah.
I said, God, I'm tired, I don't have money, but I promise you, like, if you make me successful, I just want to help people along the way. That's what I want. I just want to be a service. Like, what can I do? And that's always been in my head. Like, I made that promise to him. So we've helped people on behind, you know, nobody knows a lot of stuff that we do. And I told Mondo, I was like, that's what I wanted to focus on. I want us to have the nice things, because God never said you can't have nice things. He said, I want you guys to have the nice things. Just don't worship them.
Right.
Make sure you worship me, but you help people along the way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's very important. But you're one of those people, Jasmine, that you're always helping a lot of people. She's helped a lot of people.
And, you know, and I think because I help people get their real estate license, so I have a system to help them. And when I get a message or a picture or, you know, an email sometimes that they pass their exam, you don't even know, like that.
It's an excitement, a warm feeling, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like, wow. And only two, also two, because they follow through. Mm-hmm. And whatever I did to, you know, to help them out, it, like, they followed through. It wasn't just me helping them. It was them.
It was them pushing, doing the hard. Yeah. And you believed in them. You gave them the right tool. So you guys, if you guys are looking to invest in real estate and you guys need a good teacher, she's honestly the best person. Like, she tried to get me on there too, but I wasn't ready.
That's right.
But because she wanted to help me, you know, but I'm like, I'm not ready. And you know, this back in the days, I used to work for a broker too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I loved it. People were like, dude, you'd be so good at selling, but it wasn't my passion. Right. God has something else for me, you know, but this girl, she's like, girl, you can do it. And she did everything
a little bit, but then I'm like, no, like, I'm going to push her even harder to do what she wants to do.
I know. So, yeah, and I felt bad, but then I'm like, Jasmine, like, I'm not, like, there were so many things that were going around that time.
Yeah, I remember.
A lot of things. Yeah. So, but yeah, but if you guys are looking for, you know, to invest into like real estate, or if you guys are looking to partner up with her, make sure she's the right person to do that for. Okay. So let's talk about failure. Okay, a lot of people don't like to talk about failure, right?
I love failure.
I feel like back in the days, I used to be like, no, it's not failure. It's, I'm learning my lesson. I would always used to say that. But now I'm seeing it different. I'm like, you know what? I did fail, but then I also learned about it. Mm-hmm. You know? So can you discuss a particular setback or failure that you've experienced and how you bounced back from it?
Yeah. You know, I had a location for about 3 years in of real estate. I had a real estate office. And that location, I think, became my everything. I was pouring in that office, new furniture, any little money I made. And I started it with nothing, again, just from the bottom up. And every little cent I was making, office. And for 3 years, I had that business. It did a lot of wonderful things for me and you know, the other realtors, and obviously our families and families we helped.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say I became obsessed. I became obsessed with that building. Like, I just had to make it always better, and which was really odd, because my obsession was should have been in another way. Like, how do I make it flourish instead of just making it so pretty and so nice? On the third year, I got a rent increase. And I said, wow, okay, this is going to get tougher now. You know, this is going to get tougher. Not a lot of sales were coming in last year. It was becoming such a burden to have that office. It was either my home, my bills at home, or the office. It was a battle, you know, in my mind. And again, that person inside me did not, that ego, you know, coming in like, no, you're not going to close your office. You're going to get ahead and you're going to do it. And it was not the healthy ego.
Okay, I see.
Because ego can be good, but it also could be, you know, in another way. It was not the healthy ego that was fighting through that. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to renew my office. And it actually happened during a worship where I got a message at church.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got confirmation.
I got a confirmation.
You're like, thank you, Jesus. Like, what to do now?
Yeah, because I had, you know, I was in doubt. Should I close my, if I close my office, I'm going to fail. That's a failing. You know, I didn't make it.
And what are people going to think? That's the first thing. What are people going to think? Yeah. Or are they not going to take me serious? But like you said earlier, you do not have to have a office to do real estate.
No.
You don't.
Not really.
But it's nice to have something where you, like, as an entrepreneur, you want to have an office. Mm-hmm. You want to have a space where it's yours, you know, and you want to bring people in there. But also, we also like to have an office and for people to come in and be like, this is our office. And it's nothing wrong with that, you know. But I know that feeling, because I closed my studio too.
That's true.
For a lot of things, you know. But then I saw it as like, you know what? God doesn't need me there anymore. There's something better. Or maybe he just needs to take away that burden from me, because it was for you, it was becoming too much.
It got really hard.
It's like, man, I can't do this because I have to pay this extra rent. Plus, I got to take care of my kids, because you're a single mom now, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's hard.
Very.
So I see it as a blessing. I see it as God was taking care of you. And he's like, you don't need that stress. Mm-hmm. You don't need the office.
Yeah. And that's the message I got. I clearly heard your passion is not a building.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait, what? Can you elaborate on that? I talked to Jesus that way. And he told me, you know, it's not, your passion's not a building. You are your own passion, your own purpose. And you and your girls and the people you help are going to do amazing things with my hand in it. And I just remember tears and crying. And I'm like, wait, was that my voice? Or was that really you? And, you know, and I my heart felt it. So mm-hmm. I knew it was him. And
it's crazy how he talks. Like, you just know it and you get the butterflies and you're like, wow. Okay, like, you're right, I can hear you. And I laugh at times because I'll be like, all right, Jesus, this and that. And sometimes the answer is so fast, I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to say the last week that I was in my office, furniture's out, everything's mm-hmm. out. She pretty much said, okay, I'm not going to give you the rent increase, but you got to leave by this weekend. And I said, okay, that doesn't sound right. I'm in management. She's trying to get me out. I already paid my rent for the month, mm-hmm. you know? But I said, you know what? I don't need to be here. You know, she needs her building. She probably has another tenant. The last time I was there, I had, I think, maybe a few boxes and a chair, like mm-hmm. the one you have. I had a white chair there. And I said, okay, God, I'm being obedient. I'm going to surrender my entire wants and dreams and everything to you. You're going to do what you want with them. I have no control no more. Mm-hmm. I'm letting go. And as I'm getting ready to leave, I get a phone call. This is an empty office already. I get a phone call and it was one of my friends. She's like, you know, my mom wants to sell her house. And I had done a CMA for them already. Mm-hmm. So the house was
What's
like
one, a CMA?
A comparative market analysis.
Oh, okay.
Like an analysis for the home. And at the time, it was like 1.3 million. Mm-hmm. And she said, my mom is ready. She wants to sell. Please, like, do the paperwork and send it over. And I'm literally sitting there with the phone. I'm like, okay, this is my thought. Maybe mm-hmm. I can keep the office. And then God again said, que no, ya le dije que no, this is, I don't want to here. Yeah. So that happened. But it's crazy how things just, like, you start second guessing yourself mm-hmm. again. And again, I said, no, I already, this is what I said I was going to do. And I did. And I don't know, man, like, God knew because within weeks of me turning over those keys, it's like he opened the heavens, like deals started coming in, the agent started producing, the deal went into escrow, like all these, it was like 5-6 sales within the next month.
And real estate is not that easy too, because it's like a waiting game. You have to wait for this to close, you have to wait for that to close, but that's why you got to keep consistent, you got to keep pushing, you know, that's why you're always on calls, you're always doing this. I'm like, girl, no, girl, I got to eat. And these checks that come in, right? They're really, really good, you know, but that's why you got to be consistent and you don't stop. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not seeing the like 20 things at the same time, but you're like, I got to close this. Yeah. I'm watching you like drive from everywhere. I'm like, man, but you love it. So that's That's the best part.
And it's not work for me. Mm-hmm. I think I was talking to someone about this not too long ago. They thought I was on vacation because I wasn't answering my messages. And I'm like, oh, I'm one to want to answer right away. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, it's when you're doing what you love, you're on vacation all the time.
Yes.
Because you're not out, you know, working for someone else. You're working for yourself. So you're technically on vacation, but really working on your craft, working on your business. So it's beautiful.
That's what I really like that analogy, the way you talked about it, because it is true. Like, you don't feel like you're working. Mm-hmm. And it's, you do it con más gusto.
Right.
Because now you're like, I'm doing whatever I want, but I'm doing what I love.
Right.
Y lo voy a hacer con un gusto. Because obviously, if you love to do something, no lo voy a hacer con mal gusto. You don't put that negative energy to do it good, right?
Right, for
sure. So that's the best. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, I'm going to ask you, relationship with God, okay? Because this is honestly one of my favorite subjects, because I always like to be chismosita when it comes to that and be like, well, how did you find God? And how did God come to you? And, you know, because my story también is pretty crazy how I found God, and I wasn't expecting him to find him that way, but I want to know, Jasmine, how did you find God in your life? What brought you closer to God?
He found me, girl. He found me. I mean, I've been going to church for some time. You know, the Sunday service, you go, you learn, and your heart is touched. But where I really began to feel that he's around, his presence is around me, and, you know, those voices are of him, You do start feeling a little crazy at the beginning. It's like, okay, I asked some questions and I'm praying on certain things and these answers are coming. And it feels a little different because you're not used to it, mm-hmm. right? But where I really started seeing his hand is in my life and him being more present around me, or me feeling him. He's always present. But when I started serving at church, when I started serving on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, and they needed help with setting up tables and they needed help with this and that, and just being in the church mm-hmm. itself.
Is that the one I see you posting all the time? Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah. the cost. See, like, yeah. And I started seeing like how much love there was in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people always helping each other. People always asking, how are you? How are the kids? Do you need anything? And I was like, whoa, okay, this is different. You know, this is very different, because going every Sunday to being involved, now you're seeing how a church comes together for those services. I started just feeling like, wow, I was amazed. And, you know, I want to say, when you become that servant
mm-hmm.
and you start showing him like, here, it's all yours. Everything is here. He starts being more present in your life.
He does. He just shows up, and he's always been there. Yeah. But I think we see it more. We're like, now we can like see him in every little part of everything. Yeah. Like, cosita, you're like, oh, okay, thank you, Jesus. Now I know you were there.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, and I can relate with you on that one, where for me, I was looking for him, but then he finds us. Mm-hmm. Nos busca por donde queramos que estamos. And there's a reason why at that moment you needed something mm-hmm. that you were looking for. He's like, but I've always been here for you.
I had a vivid situation when I first moved out on my own mm-hmm. with my kids, where, you know, I think I was in a situation where my hands were very like this, like I couldn't see clearly. When you can't see clearly, you can't think clearly. Mm-hmm. And I remember going into our new place, and it was Noah and I. He was 2 years old. And I
wonder where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. I remember when you first moved in there.
Yeah, and I remember, that's when I first felt him the closest mm-hmm. because he confirmed by what was happening in front of me, in front of my eyes, that I've always been here. You just have to open your eyes.
You have to unhear and yeah. open your ears. Porque yeah. no hacemos caso.
Yeah, but he was walking, and I'm walking behind him with bags, and this little bird just starts kind of walking towards what he is, and I'm like, oh, that little bird's not scared of, mm-hmm. of Noah. Noah starts running behind it, and the little bird starts running, like going up some stairs. Aww. And then Noah would go up the stairs, and the bird would fly over him like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would do the same thing over and over. Like, they were playing together. Aww. My son's innocence with this bird's innocence were playing together. And I'm here watching this, like, wow. And I, you know, of course, tears just start flowing, and I'm like, things are going to be right.
Yeah.
Like,
confirmation.
Yeah.
And I like when he does, you know, he does his little confirmation. Mm-hmm. Yo soy en llorona. I cry a lot, girl. Like, I'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'll tell Mando, I was like, oh my God, babe, Jesus did this for me. I just felt things. And then it's crazy because he recently, like, felt the same thing that me and so with him. So he's a different topic, but it's amazing the feeling that you get. It's like when there's a confirmation or a feeling that he tells you, I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm.
I got your back.
Yeah, you know? And then you want everybody to feel it.
You want everyone to feel it. So that's when, for me, girl, I talk about God every single day. I don't care what anybody judges me or says, oh my God, I'm hablando de God todo el día. I'm like, okay, yeah. Girlfriend, if you had a relationship with him too,
yeah.
like, you would be proud of him, and you would just want to flaunt, just like you flaunt that guy that doesn't do nothing good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, for girl, sure. Like, I'm going to speak about him because he really changed my life. And I always tell people, I don't say things just to say things. I really do mean them, because I'm like, when I talk to you guys about God, or the way I express about it, because they used to make fun of me. They used to be like, oh, look, that's a little church girl. Oh, look, she's talking about God now. Even my own friends. And I just laugh, because I'm just like, for me, I makes, thank you. Like, it makes me happy. I laugh in a happy way, not in a malicious way. I laugh because I'm like, thanks that you acknowledge that I love Jesus. Like,
right.
That I'm doing something right. Like, thank you. You know, thank you for letting me know that you know that I love Jesus. So for me, I'm like, I don't want to hide that or anything like that. But
same, girl, same.
It's the best. And you've actually, like, you've been walking with him, and I think you've gotten so much closer that I've seen your growth too.
Mm.
Girl, you're reading the Bible. Mm. You're sending me scriptures. Like, I love that, because you're just like, you feel it. You want everyone to know about it. And even when I got my surgery, you gave me a little, what is it?
Devotional
book, mm-hmm. you know, which is actually in our room.
Mm-hmm.
We have two of them. We have that one, and then we have another pink one. But honestly, just you walking with God and doing things with God, I think, like, I see a difference in you, because, you know, we come from our past and stuff, and the conversations we would have, there was a part of your life where there was a lot of darkness, and I see so much light in you now. Like, you te miras más diferente, like, you're glowing, you look happier, and we also got stresses. People think that just because we have God in our life, everything's done. No, we still stressed out. We still have those moments where we're like, all right, Jesus, like, I need a little bit of help here because I'm tired.
But we stress with peace.
Yes, exactly.
And that helps.
So just watching you, like, massive, like, it makes me really, really happy, because I know where you came from. I know what we're dealing with, both of us. We were the stuff that we're both dealing with. And just watching you, you're just glowing. You're totally different than before.
It's Jesus in me.
Literally. Have you heard that song? It's, what's their name? Trinity 5-7. Oh, no, it's not Trinity 5-7. That's another song, another band. But it's Mary Mary. It's the God in me. It's an older song. Oh, it's maybe. The God in me.
No, we might
be able to send that to me. It's like an old, old song, but I used to play that one back in the days before I got baptized.
Really?
This was like, what? Like, I want to say I got baptized in 2011.
Wow. Okay.
It's been a long time, girl. You know, when I got baptized, I had veils. I used to wear veils.
Yeah?
Girl, I was a apostolic Christian. Oh, wow. Long skirts, no makeup. That's another podcast for that. But yeah, I was that type.
And whatever it is, if he's in your life, or whatever, you know, whatever religion or whatever your heart feels, I think just having him is everything.
And I feel a lot of people get discouraged because they feel like they need to be a certain way, or they need to look the part. The thing is like, look, Jesus, it's a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. It's not a religion. Mm-hmm. Being with Jesus, it's a relationship. And along the way, you start learning. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things start getting removed that no longer serve you. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure, you know, there's things in your life that you don't do anymore because you're like, no, it's not right. Or you just feel it in your heart that's not the good thing, you know? Like, for me was, I used to party a lot. I used to drink a lot. Mm-hmm. And slowly, I used to be like, but if I just want to party, Jesus. You know, I wanted to be a party girl.
Yeah.
But Jesus is like, I'm going to take that away from you, like, pretty soon. I'm like, all right. And he did. I don't party. I don't drink. I mean, I drink. Mm-hmm. I still have my wine here, or have a drink with Mondo. But it's not like before. Now I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to drink or not? It's different. It's just different. You know that. Like, there's
For me, I think it was more like when I like really understood his love, and I started digging in into, like, man, he did that for us then. He's doing this for us now, and he's gonna be doing even more for us later and forever. I didn't want to hurt myself anymore with putting myself in situations that were hurting me, because the love I had for him was really and truly, like, I can't hurt him by hurting myself. I can't. So, yeah, I stopped the drinking. I haven't drank alcohol since, it's going to be 4 years in August.
Wow, already? No, 4 years?
4 years. No alcohol. Wow. And I didn't have an addiction, you know, to alcohol, but again, I don't think you have to have one.
No.
Like, once you're done with that and you don't want to try it or drink it or anything, your life truly becomes different.
It does.
It's not a lack anymore. It's more. And I've been around friends that are drinking, and, you know, the pressure sometimes happens still here and there. And I'll ask for, like, a fruity drink that looks cute like theirs, you know, tell them the waitress on the side. Please,
just don't put alcohol.
And, you know, I think I'm the same person, and if not, more happy now.
I'm the same way, too. I don't need to have alcohol to be fun. Girl, I'm like this 24/7. And you know, also health. I don't know. For me, I'm like, this is my temple. You said this is your temple. Take care of it. For me, I'm like, all right, Jesus, I got to take care of it, you know? And I just think about, which, I like I said, I don't judge anybody who drinks. Trust me, if you're walking with God and you're still drinking, God will remove it. Whatever he needs
Once
to remove.
They're ever ready.
The thing is, so that's what I'm saying, like, just walk with God. Just walk with him. And you'll start seeing a lot of things work in your favor. But trust me, it's a hard walk, too, because there's a lot of things that come with it.
For sure.
But it's worth it. It's really, really worth it.
I agree. 1,000%.
So another question, Jasmine, I have for you. How do you maintain and nurture your spiritual connection amidst the challenges of daily life and career demands?
Oh, wow. Yeah, because you have to be consistent. Just like you are consistent with everything you do for your business, you have to be consistent in your faith. And part of it is I'm learning how to read the Bible. to me, it, at the beginning, it was very hard because first the Bible I had spoke very different English.
It's the hard one.
Yeah, the hard one. So when you first start reading the Bible, if you get something like that, you begin to get discouraged a little bit because you're not understanding or getting any messages. And finally, I got one. I think you told me which one to get.
The NIV. The one that I posted?
Yeah.
That was easy. It's so chill to read, right?
Yeah. So I think when you understand and the messages that were coming, mm-hmm. you know, even just reading Genesis at the beginning with the rainbow and the covenant and the promise. I remember reading that and I closed it. And I'm like crying, like, wow, like this is where the rainbow came from.
Yes. Let the promise to us that he wasn't going to flood anything. And I'm like, I bet you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. And opening it was that moment for me. Like, wow, these are all very touching. And this is his word. And it's always the same. And it's true.
And it doesn't change.
It doesn't change. And so I do try as much as I can, maybe daily even, reading something that is feeding my heart. There's another book I'm reading called Miracles by Frank DiMaggio. He comes to our church at times, and whoa, like that book is truly, like, it's amazing. And you know, if your heart is being filled with words, why would it be bad? Why would you even think like, oh, and I'm not going to read that because of this and that? I mean, just reading these words in my heart, it really encourages me and it fills me with hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think that's what we need in life, you know, especially with everything that's going on right now. I think it's important. I mean, look, we spend so much time on social media just scrolling. You're just wasting your life. Why not put it, like, start reading something that's going to feel you, something that's going to make you feel better. I always tell people, just read a little bit or just maybe just... Even if you don't like reading, watch a podcast on it or, you know, maybe YouTube video on it. Mm-hmm. Just something small. Get to know God a little bit. And trust me, once you start just doing a little bit, you're going to want more and you want more. You're just addicted. You're just like, okay, I need everything that has to be with God. I want it. If it's not from him, I don't want it.
Yeah.
That's how I am. That's how you are too. Because I've seen you and I've seen you the way you post. And I'm like, dang, eso no para. I was like, we got to keep going. Go Team Jesus.
Bold for our businesses, we're bold for our families, and we're bold for him.
Exactly. Yeah,
so for sure.
You know what's crazy is I bought a book because I said, okay, all right, Jesus, I'm walking with you. I want to incorporate everything. It's about business too. It's business with Jesus or something like that, incorporating Jesus into your business and how God works and everything like that with you and your business. I'm like, that's pretty crazy because when you actually involve God into your business, everything just starts, it makes sense. That's your business partner now. Do you feel that way too now that you incorporate him in your business? Do you feel like it makes sense now?
Oh, 1,000%. And actually this book, it's funny you're mentioning that because the one I'm reading on miracles has a whole section on your business and God. And it said something, I can't say it word for word, but it said something like he wants to be in your business 1,000% and wants to allow you to flourish it, like beyond what you even think it's possible. And it said it wants to be more in like your business than in the church. It wants to be within you and your business growing, flourishing, than more in the church itself. And I thought that was like, oh wow, because he'll reach more people.
Yes.
You know, sharing your love for him and really putting it all on him. Like, your business is doing well because of him.
And also because he gave you the vision for it.
Oh, for sure.
Hello. I said, like, he gave you the vision. He's the one that put it in your head to say, hey, I need you to start this. Of course he wants to be involved. Mm-hmm. He's like, dude, I gave you the vision. I want to be part of it too. I want to grow with you because I want to grow so, because I have a purpose for you. And that's the thing. Like, he gave us the vision. So why not incorporate the visionary who gave it to us, who has our platform? There's a reason why he gave it to you.
Right.
Oh, so when you incorporate him, it's like, I'm like, okay, I have the roadmap. Mm-hmm. It's like you get the map, but you don't get the directions. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. If you don't incorporate God in your life, in your business, you really just have the address, but you don't know how to get there. But if you add God in there, he's your GPS.
Yeah, and he's a driver.
He's a driver.
He's the one like, okay, go this way. And you're just, you know, his wingman. Like, you're doing what he says. So, for sure.
But I'm glad that you told that story, and I'm glad that you actually incorporate him in everything that you do, because everything just flows. You said you don't want to close your office. You don't want to close it. He's like, dude, I got you. Don't worry. Close it. Trust me. Like, we're going to make things work and just have faith. Do you have faith in me, Jasmine? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I do. I'm kind of sad. It's like no different like that little story with the little girl with the teddy bear.
Send me that.
Yeah, I sent you that one where it's like, she's holding a little teddy bear, and then he's like, but do you trust me? And he has a big old teddy bear in the back, right? Yeah. And sometimes we got to let go of that little teddy bear because he has something bigger for us. So that's what happened with you, bro. Yes. Okay, Jasmine, so what advice would you give someone who is struggling to find their passion or purpose in life?
Just work on yourself. Honestly, I think start there. Work on finding yourself, because I think when you start anything, if you don't know who you are, you're not